Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. All right, let's get ourselves ready here. We've got limited amount of time. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we get into our study. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this book. How grateful we are for the consistency, the flow, all the way through, from Job to Revelation. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see in this introduction to the gospel flow of the Bible. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we took up the questions in Job, and today we're going to look at the gospel flow through the Bible, the gospel flow of the Bible. There are different ways you can learn about how the Bible is composed and put together, but we're going to look at the gospel flow of the Bible. Let's start out with a clear understanding of what the gospel is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that we'll be looking at a little later. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, no works, nothing but faith. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. And then, of course, the familiar one, the Gospel of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Nothing else, nothing more. Faith alone in Christ alone secures you eternal life. And the moment you put your faith in Christ, at that moment you're saved forever. Now let's see if we can see the gospel flow through the Bible. Now this may sound like a Herculean task in a session dealing with a basic introduction, but I want to see if we can't simplify these things for us. There are 66 books in one divinely inspired book, the Bible. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Let's see how this gospel flow works for you in grasping the Bible. If we correctly grasp the flow of the Bible, we will see why it is by faith that we are saved or receive any blessings from God, and not by any works that we do. Now, we start off with our understanding that there are two unique books in the Bible, Job and Revelation. As we saw last week, the first book of the Bible, the first book written, is Job. It's the first thing God wanted us to know. And we looked at 10 questions of Job. Now, those 10 questions can be summarized into one simple statement. How can man be righteous before God? Therein lies the question. All 10 questions that we looked at last week in Job summarized, how can he who is unrighteous be righteous before a righteous God? And we saw last week that religion and man comes along and says, if you do this and you do that, do and do, little here, little there, rule on rule, you'll make yourself righteous before God. No. The question is, how can we be righteous who are unrighteous, be righteous before God? This is the question, how to be saved. This is the answer to the question, how to be saved. To be saved, you must be righteous before God. This is the question the true gospel answers. And Job starts out with the question that we need to understand as we work our way through the Bible. How can a man be righteous before God? In Job chapter 14, verse 4, you recall that Satan laid out the gauntlet when he said, no one can make the unrighteous righteous. No one can make the unclean clean. No matter how good you may be, how good you may try to be, you cannot make yourself righteous before God. We are in a hopeless condition, hopeless circumstance by those 10 questions last week. Now, God took up the challenge, took up the gauntlet. God said, I can do it, I will do it, and I will do it alone. I can make the unrighteous righteous, I will make the unrighteous righteous, and I will do it alone, no help from man. Now to see this, let's turn this morning in our Bibles to Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to briefly look at two verses in Isaiah chapter 43. Two verses that are going to be of issue. Now, these two verses, very important in laying out our study of the gospel flow of the Bible. Verse 11. Even I am the Lord. There is no Savior besides me. Verse 12, it is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. There was no strange God among you, so you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. I am God. Okay, let's go back and look at verse 11. First thing we want to note about verse 11 is the word Savior. There is no Savior besides me. This takes us right to the issue. The Hebrew for the word Savior notes the character to deliver, to save, to liberate. First and foremost, people, you must be able to see you are in need of a Savior. We have been studying the hopeless condition of mankind. Unclean, impure, unjust, unrighteous, born of woman. Those are the 10 things we saw in those 10 questions of Job last session. Now, all are in need to be delivered from this state. We need to be delivered from being unclean to being clean, delivered out of being unrighteous, delivered into or saved into a righteous state, from impurity to purity. And Satan has declared no one can deliver mankind into a state of purity. That is, no one could save mankind, but now God declares he can. Verse 11, God declares that he will do it. And what is really important is that he will do it alone. Note carefully verse 11. There is no Savior besides me. This means no angel, no flesh, no creature. There is nothing you can do to save or to deliver yourself or even help God to deliver or save you from this status, from being unrighteous to being righteous. Confession will not do it. Repentance will not do it. Not inviting Jesus into your heart, that will not do it. Not making him Lord, that will not do it. Nothing that man does. These are all verbs of man doing something. I invited Jesus into my heart. I made him Lord. I did this. I did that. No. No, no. It is God doing everything for our salvation. He gets all the glory. That's what Ephesians is about. The Ephesians 2 passage we read. So that man has no room to boast. No room to say, I did my part. So this is very important that you understand that he saves and he saves alone. No Savior besides me, deity. Now, people, this answers the question, why Jesus Christ? Why Jesus Christ must be God? There used to be a day and time when I was a teenager, more years ago than I'd like to think about. But you could talk about Jesus Christ, and even unbelievers, they knew. They knew what being saved was. But today, who is Jesus? He's taken away from our young people in school, and in many churches, by the way. So, who is Jesus? What's so special about Jesus? Well, people, he is the only one sent by God to be the Savior of the world. And it is nothing other than faith in him that will save. But he saves alone. And as we will see later, probably next week, we'll see how faith is non-meritorious. Faith depends on the object. It is not just faith. It is faith in a certain object, the one sent by God. Now let's move to verse 12. We have three important verbs in our study in verse 12 that helps us outline the whole Bible. The first question, who can make the unrighteous righteous? Who can make the unclean clean? This is the question that sets the need of a Savior. Now, in three important verbs of declaring by God, he will do it. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. All right, let's look at the first verb. I have declared. The Hebrew word for declared means to stand out boldly, to manifest, to announce, to expose, to bring to light, to predict, to certify. Now, question, what does God declare? It's a fair question. Everything that Satan declared in Job, and those 10 questions examined, that could not happen, no one can make the clean out of the unclean. Well, God declares, announces, that he can do it, and he will do it, and he will do it alone. Now, the question that we have to answer, can God do what Satan declares cannot be done? Can God do what no creature can do? Then we ask the question, will God do what no creature can do? Can, will God make the just out of the unjust? Will God make man pure before a holy God? Will and can God make the righteous before him? Will he make the unclean clean before himself? Remember, Satan declared, no one can do this. Here God declares that he can and that he will. Now we come to the second verb. No, that's all the time we need to spend on that for right now. Come to the second verb in Isaiah 43:12. I save. Every one of us needs a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot make ourselves righteous by anything we do. Now, I save is a reference to God keeping his word in making the clean out of the unclean. He declared he would do it. I saved is God keeping his word of doing it. Now, we're going to see later, God is caused to do these things out of his love. That's the motivation, but we'll see that in context. I save, that means I deliver. It means to set free. It's a judicial term. It means to defend, bring about salvation. Now, I emphasize the judicial. In the verbal contest between God and Satan is set up in a judicial setting. Satan declares no one can do this. God says, I can do it. He says, I declare I'll do it, and then he saves. I saved. Again, God can make the clean out of the unclean, and he will do it alone. God can make the righteous out of the unrighteous, and he will do it alone. God will make the unjust justified before him, and he will do it alone. God can make the pure out of the impure, and he will do it, and he will do it alone. Okay? Getting ready for our future studies, and if you were to continue in our studies, I like to take things in point form. We have not done this in our up to this point, up to this third hour. But I want to kind of get you in a momentum of what my is teaching and what our momentum is about. So point one, salvation is more than a mere happening. Salvation is a person. You got to get this in your mind. If you don't want to be confused on the gospel and when people say you have to do this, you have to do that to be saved. Salvation is a person. The person of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not something to be attained by something you do and do and do. Isaiah 28, you'll recall. By some religious effort, some religious list. Salvation is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Point two. Jesus Christ does not provide a way of salvation. Jesus Christ does not point to a way of salvation. Jesus Christ is salvation. He is salvation. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way of becoming righteous when you're unrighteous. He is the truth that God is looking for. He is the life of God freely given to man. Point three, this is why it is so vital that Jesus be the Son of God. It's vital that he be the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is God. Now, I've met many people who believe that Jesus is God, and that's great. But I ask them, what difference does it make if he is God, if he isn't God? And they really can't give me an answer. Well, people, if Jesus is not God, if he's mere man, then God needed the help of the creature to provide salvation. He did not do it alone. Jesus must be God. So Jesus Christ being God means that God did it alone, provided the way of salvation alone, with no help from the creature, from mankind, from you or from me. He did it alone. He gets all the glory. Point four. And again, as we will see, this is why faith. Now, we haven't studied faith. We're going to study faith. The faith that God is looking for. But right now, let's just flow with this. This is why faith is so vital. Because when God does these miraculous things, making you just out of the unjust, without any works of man, only by responding to man's faith, God is doing everything, and God is doing it alone. We're going to see faith is non-meritorious. Point five. If we can do anything other than just faith so as to cause God to save us, to make us pure, to make us righteous, to justify us, then God needed the help of creatures. And what would that do? That would pervert, distort his own justice and righteousness. And you'll recall, we saw in the 10 questions of Job that God does not pervert his own righteousness. God does not pervert or distort his own justice. If he uses and needs mankind, that would be a perversion, a distortion. We studied that when we looked at that question. If God saves us because we confess, we repent, we join a church, we invite him in our heart, we make him Lord, do some ritual, on and on and on, then he didn't do it alone. He depended on us. But if God does these things, makes the unrighteous righteous, justifies us by faith alone, then God receives all glory, for he did it alone. He saves, referring to the cross of Christ. And finally, point six, I save is in the Hebrew what is called the Hiphil, H-I-P-H-I-L, stem. Now, I have not burdened you in this brief introduction with the Greek and Hebrew, but every now and then I want to enrich you a little bit, get you kind of in the mode of seeing some of these things. And the word I save is in the Hiphil, and I point this out because the Hiphil is causative. Causative. God is caused to save because of His love. Because of His love, He's caused to save. For God so loved the world. Who's the world? Unbelievers, unrighteous, impure, unjust, unclean. That He gave His Son, that whosoever believes in Him should have everlasting life. Now this brings us to the third word. In Isaiah 43:12, it is I who have declared and saved. And now the third word, proclaimed. I proclaim. Now the main meaning of this word, the root of this word, means to hear. Here is translated to proclaim so that they can hear. Now let's see how this flows for you. I proclaim. It means to hear a judicial case. To hear a case. To examine the merits of a case. Then to proclaim a just decision. To announce a just decision that will be heard. The charge of Job. Man is unrighteous, impure, unclean. No one can help him. No one can get him out of that jam. Proclamation of the case. God finds us righteous, clean, pure, only in His Son. So He's going to proclaim that He's done it. So Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides Me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. Now, to understand why salvation, the gospel, must be by faith alone in Christ alone, and why it is by faith that we can, if we grasp the gospel flow of the Bible, we'll understand that it has to be by faith alone in Christ alone. It's the momentum of the gospel flow of the whole Bible. Okay, let's start. A few points here again, please. Start with a few points. One, the book of Job starts out with God and Satan in heaven debating over man on earth. Just as Genesis. Now, Genesis was written after, 500 years after Job. But Genesis goes further back. But Job was the first book written. First thing God wanted us to know was the great problem between God and man. So, we have now the battle between God and Satan in Job 1, as in Genesis 1 in the garden. In Job, we have a great challenge that no one, not even God, can save mankind. That man is unrighteous, and there is nothing that a holy God can do because He's holy, and He must remain holy. Man says, I can, and I'll do it by my works. I'll reform myself, be good, make myself good before God. It won't work. We're unrighteous to begin with. Satan says, no one can do it. God declares, I can, I will, and I will do it alone. Point two. The Bible begins with a challenge to God's glory. The Bible begins with a challenge to God's glory in the 10 questions of Job and ends in Revelation with the glorification of God through the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible begins with a challenge to God's glory in Job, the 10 questions of Job, and ends in Revelation with the glorification of God through the person of Jesus Christ. Point 3. Seeing the gospel flow, the flow of the Bible correctly, also leads to understanding God correctly. I often like to say, what is your view of God? Is your view of God that if I'm bad, He's going to get me, if I'm good, He's going to bless me? Is that your view of God, that He's a scorekeeper? That God is some Operation Sugar Daddy up there, and if you're real good, I'm going to do this for you? Is that your view of God? What's your view of God? People, and I'm talking about a lot of Christians, have a horrible view of God. God's going to get me. How horrible. What a view of God. It's not the God in the Bible, but it's a God that's there if you want to see it, as we saw in Isaiah 28, our first lesson. Point 3. Seeing the flow of the Bible correctly leads to a correct understanding of God. It will help correctly understanding the Bible, correctly understanding the gospel, correctly understanding God. And when you start studying the Bible, and I hope that you will find a church, if you're out on the internet or tapes or something, I hope you find a church where they teach the Bible, verse by verse, word by word. And you want to know where you are when you do that. This is not going to guarantee no mistakes or faults, errors, but it sure is going to help eliminate them. If you know where you are when you're working on a Bible passage. Okay. Point 4, the gospel flow of understanding the Bible. Now, point 1, the gospel flow of understanding the Bible. Job, the gospel challenge. We have the challenge in Job to God on saving mankind. Now, the next thing that happens are all of the books of the Old Testament. All the other books, the books to Israel. In the books to Israel, God declares that He will do it, and He will do it alone. He will save mankind. He will make an unrighteous person righteous. He will justify. And to do so, this is all covered in these books of how He declares He's going to do it. To do so, He is going to create a new race. It's going to bring on the scene of history a new race. So the Bible centers the Old Testament on the race of the Jews. Then as you continue through the Old Testament, you start narrowing it down to the concentration on one tribe, the tribe of Judah. Then the Bible seems even more narrow in the Old Testament development, primarily on one family, the family of David. So this is God declaring that He's going to do this, going to bring the Messiah. Now the third section of understanding the gospel flow of the Bible is the four gospel, or the four gospels. This is where God saves. Remember, I declare, I save. So this is where He declared that He would save. He would provide the only way of salvation for man. The only way in which man can be saved or made righteous. This will be by sending His own Son into the world, which is what the Gospels deal with. Sending His own Son into the world. Jesus Christ must be God-man to die on the cross, bearing the judgment for the sins of all mankind throughout all history, then raised from the dead. And this righteousness, this salvation, can be received only by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Please remember the question of the gospel. How can man be righteous before God? And the only way man can be righteous before God is for God to make us righteous, and He sent His Son to die on the cross that he might make us righteous if we will just believe in him. So that's the count of the four Gospels, I save. Now, there's another verb, the third verb. He proclaims. That brings us to the next section of the Bible. The books to the church. From Acts through the epistles. God proclaims through the church. This is what he's doing. That he has saved and provided salvation for mankind. In all the books of the New Testament, the Acts and all the epistles, God proclaims, I did it, I saved mankind. No one was able to stop me. I proclaimed it. Satan was not able to stop me. He tried his best to stop Jesus Christ. He tried his best to stop him from being born. In fact, if we had the time, we could go back. And when God said he will come through a race, then Satan zeroed in on the race of the Jews. Then he zeroed in on a tribe, the tribe of Judah. I have a lot of accounts of attacking Judah. Then the family of David. And he just keep narrowing it down. And then we finally come to Jesus' birth, and Satan tried to stop that. You can't stop God. I declared I'm going to do this. And then I do it. I save. And that's what we have. Now I proclaim that I did it. No one stopped me. And that's why that phrase in Isaiah 43, I am God. There is no God beside me. There is no one who can stop me. No one can help me, not you. This proclaiming is covered in Acts through all the epistles to the church. People, this is one of the great privileges of the church. When you love Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, loves the fruit of the Spirit, we'll see that. We will want to proclaim how God did what Satan said can't be done. It's a wonderful privilege the church has to spread the gospel and proclaim that God has done it. And all you have to do to receive it is by faith in Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of proclaiming how man can be reconciled with God by God himself through Jesus Christ. And he did it out of his love. John 3:16. Okay, we have one more thing to take care of in the gospel flow. That's the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, we come to all glory to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The last book of the Bible, much like the first book, Job, sits somewhat alone. It's not written to the church, but it's written to all mankind. It warns all mankind. This book ends with the glory of God and the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. His glory for all eternity. And you can be a part of it. Of all this wonderful plan of God for time and eternity, simply by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So we have noted the challenge of the first book of Job. Then we noted how the remainder of the Old Testament, God declares that he will provide salvation. Then the Gospels are God keeping his word. What are the Gospels? It's God keeping his word. I declared I would do it. I'm keeping my word. I am saving. So here's the faithfulness of God. We'll be learning some of the attributes of God, and faithfulness of God is so important to our daily life. So the Gospels, God keeping his word, that he would do it and do it alone. How did he keep his word? By sending his Son into the world. You might be asking, why do Christians insist that it's Jesus, faith in Jesus? And if Jews do not believe in Jesus Christ, they're destined for a lake of fire. If the Muslims do not believe in Jesus Christ, they're headed for a lake of fire. If the Hindus do not believe in Jesus Christ, they're headed for a lake of fire. If any person, the Buddhist, anybody, doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, no matter how wonderful they are in human terms, do not believe in Jesus Christ, they're headed for the lake of fire. Why do you Christians say that? It's because of Jesus Christ. Because of who and what he is. It's why Jesus Christ. It is exclusive. It's all inclusive. It's exclusive in that salvation is in no other person, no other name but Jesus Christ. It is inclusive, all-inclusive, in that whosoever will. That's what makes Jesus so special, people. Why is Jesus so special? He is the only one appointed by God, sent by God, to provide the way to God. And the way to God is by faith in this person. So it is exclusive only in Jesus Christ. I am the way. It is all-inclusive, whosoever will believe in Him. So, exclusive means that no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Inclusive, whosoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life. Now, in the gospel account, let's take a quick look. Matthew presents Jesus as the King. Presents Jesus as the King. Mark presents Jesus as the servant. Now, question. How, I think I have it on here. How can one be both king and servant? It's a paradox. Luke, third gospel, presents Jesus Christ as man. John presents Jesus Christ as God. That presents another paradox. How can he be both God and man in one person? Who is this Jesus? He is King. He is servant. He is the God-man. He is Jesus Christ. He is God keeping His word. Each of these Gospels present other things about Jesus Christ, but these are the momentums of each book. Matthew, Jesus Christ is the promised King from the line of David, promised Son of David. Mark, He is the servant of God, prophesied in the Old Testament. Luke, He is the Son of Man. John, He is the Son of God, unique in that He is both God and man. All these are prophesied and promised in the Old Testament where God declared, I will do it, and this is how I'm going to do it. God is faithful to His Word. These are just some of the paradoxes in Scripture, revealed in the Bible, and God specializes in resolving paradoxes. This is how the great challenge began with Satan announcing a paradox. Man is unrighteous. God is holy. There's no way. How can God have any relationship with an unholy man? It's a paradox. Can't be done. See, Satan does understand something that most people do not, even Christians do not understand. Nothing man can do to change his unrighteous status. So he presents a paradox to God. You're God. Holy, perfect righteous. Man is unrighteous. Nothing you can do about it. Gotcha, God. God said, I can do it. And He sent His Son to die on the cross. Now, let's take a look at how this flows for you. See if this will flow for you in this development. Job, I don't know if you can read this because I want to get it all in one chart here. Job, and then we go to the books of to Israel, the remainder of the Old Testament, and then we go to the Gospels, and then to the books to the church, and then Revelation. Now here's the gospel flow of the Bible. Here's the gospel flow. Job, the challenge. Books of Israel, God takes up the challenge. I declare, I will do it. Then the Gospels, God saves, and then proclaiming the church through the church, and then the glorification of God in the book of Revelation. So let's see if this works now. In the book of Job, we have the conflict between God and man, God and Satan. How, and the great questions. How? How can man be righteous before God? Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. How can man be just before God? Who can make the clean out of the unclean? Satan said, no one. So, all of these things. Can a man be just before his God? And we noted these questions. It's the challenge of the book of Job. It's what it's about. Much more the book of Job, obviously, as we saw. But this is the flow of the gospel flow through the Bible. Then we come to the books to Israel. In the books to Israel, God takes up the challenge. God declares that He and He alone can and will save mankind. He can make the unjust just. He can make the unrighteous righteous. He can make the unclean clean. And He will do it alone. No help from the creature. That brings us to the Gospels. God keeping His Word. The faithfulness of God. There's a passage that says the Word of God abides forever. That's Jesus Christ. It's the Son of God. It's God keeping His Word. So God keeping His Word in the Gospels, His Word in providing salvation to the world through His Son, Jesus Christ, the love of God resolves the conflict. It's now over. Salvation is fully provided. All you have to do is believe. Well, what about that third verb, proclaiming? Okay, that brings us to the books to the church. Books to the church. God proclaiming through the church that salvation has been completed. And this is a privilege we have today, spreading the gospel. That's why we emphasize various missionary activities here, spreading the gospel. That's why we're on the internet, tape ministry, all these things, so that we can help spread the gospel to both unbelievers and believers, and I will be showing you how the gospel is also for believers. Well, in the Ephesians passage, it talked about not of works of man. Man's going to boast. All the glory goes to God. Okay, that final book, the book of Revelation, we have the glorification of God through the glorification of His Son, Jesus Christ. So here is a nice gospel flow, and if you're studying any book of the Bible, you kind of want to know where you are in the whole plan so that you understand the momentum being accomplished here. And if you study the book of Job, it's the first thing God wanted us to know. Zeroing in on these questions. Job's great problem was that he was confused about God. He had a view of God that if I'm good, God will bless me. If I'm bad, God will discipline. And then all of a sudden, bad things started happening to him. He became totally confused about God. He had the wrong view of God. Then we go to the books of Israel. You take any of the books of Israel, you want to know where you are. Is it God declaring it will be through the Jewish race? Is it God declaring it will be through the tribe of Judah? Is it God declaring it will be through the family of David? And that will help you in cutting out errors. Help you in a flow of understanding the Bible. Then you come to the Gospels. The Gospels are God keeping His Word. And you have the momentum of each of the Gospels. Matthew, He's King. Mark, He's Servant. Luke, He's Son of Man. John, He's Son of God. And all of those, He dies on the cross, bearing the judgment sins of the world, and rises again from the dead. Victory over death. Victory over sin. Victory over death. He is the Savior of the world. And then the church, well, we're here to proclaim. So we have all the epistles by Paul and Peter and Jude and James, all dealing with the proclamation, various aspects of the gospel. And then, of course, Revelation. Revelation deals with these things. So, let's now close it today with an understanding of this whole issue that we've been looking at. Okay, first of all, we start in Job chapter 1. Genesis, we have God and Satan. Satan, just for your understanding right now, was one of the, he was the seal of the creative perfection of God. He was an angel and a supernatural being that fell, rebelled against God, and then took the name Satan. Okay. Now, God brought man on the scene. There's man. So you'll note that, well, I've got the other list, if I can take that out. Yes. And if you'll note on the chart here, there's a line between God and Satan, God and man, unbroken. So man has fellowship with God. Now Satan was jealous of this fellowship, and so Satan came into the garden, and you'll notice where he divides that line now, breaks the fellowship between God and man, and he does so through sin. So now there's a break, a barrier between God and man. Now, what Satan does say now is, you see, God, now they are in my kingdom of darkness. My kingdom of darkness. No interruption, nothing you can do about it. They are unrighteous, unclean, impure, all those words we studied in Job. And he's in my kingdom. And furthermore, God, you are holy. There's nothing you can do with unrighteous man. Gotcha, God. They must stay in my kingdom of darkness. They can't save themselves, but I'm going to let them think they can. But they can't. And I know that, and you know that. And you're a holy God. You're perfect righteousness, absolute justice. Man is unrighteous, impure, unjust. Nothing you can do. He must stay in my kingdom of darkness. Now, there's one thing that Satan did not understand and does not understand to this very day. As far back as this conflict goes, he does not understand the love of God. And the love of God said, I can do this, and I will do it, and I will do it alone. I will send my Son to die on the cross, taking the judgment of the sins of the world. And now the only issue between, and see how the line between Satan and man is broken? It's broken by the love of God. It's broken by the cross, the work of Jesus Christ. And now the only issue for man is faith. Faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. This is the only issue between man and God. So this is the great thing that is going on between God and Satan, God and man and Christ, Christ and God, Christ and Satan. On that cross, we'll see how Jesus Christ defeated Satan. But most important for our study, Jesus Christ provided the way of salvation. He provided the way to be righteous before God. And all that we have to do is faith in Him. Now, one thing you'll learn, sometimes I go over, but when I'm through, I'm through. And we're early, but I don't want to just start in on the next session. So I'm going to break it here, and we're going to start next hour in our series here and take the next thing. So we're just building these things up. And I hope that now you understand the gospel. I hope you have a flow of the gospel through the Bible, the gospel flow of the Bible. There are other ways. There are many ways you can outline the Bible. Some people do it by books. Some people do it by books of history, books of Psalms, book of this, and poetry, and all of this. But I like this. This is a gospel flow of the Bible. And it'll help you orient to wherever you are when you're studying the Bible. So take these things and see how this flows for you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. When we understand what you're doing in history, when we understand your love, what kind of God you are, when we grasp how really horrible we are under total depravity, unrighteous, impure, and we hopelessly say, who can rescue me? And you come along and say, I can, and I have. I have done for you. I have sent my Son. Will you just trust Him? That's all you have to do, people. I know you may have heard things from other preachers or other people or books, But the Bible makes it clear, all you have to do is to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the grace of God. That's the love of God. That's the genius of God. He made it so simple. Father, we praise you for your wonderful plan. We praise you for this book. Pray that you'll take the things that we've seen this morning. Let them settle into the soul of people. They can grasp the gospel flow. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.